this is the scene of glory. The Lord Jesus came as the Son of God, but he didn't. But he hid his glory as God. But there were the glories, the moral glories, that were seen on every hand, a little preview of the disciples.
To the Lord's glory as Son of Man, which is coming.
Yes.
And so on, David. As you say, a little foreshadowing of the glorious place that the Lord will occupy. In the millennial scene, the world to come. I suppose we have a similar passage in Hebrews chapter 2. The angels have been offered in subjection, the world to come, God will speak. That is the millennium, the world to come. One in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? For the Son of Man that thou visitest him, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and set him over the worship. And for all things in subjection under his feet, in that he put all in subjection under him, left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. And this is a little millennial picture, isn't it? Of the Son of Man in the world. And his rightful acknowledged place in the human creation.
He will be the central figure in the earthly and the heavenly department of the millennial day. The Lord will be the center. And so we see everything revolving around this person here.
Suppose we have in Moses the picture of the saints who will partake of the millennial scene, who have passed through the article of death. That's a picture of ourselves, of those in the present dispensation who will pass through the article of death to glory, and the bias those who will be translated into the Lord's presence apart from death, all glorified together with Christ, Son of Man, and the disciples in the picture of the Jewish remnant will be on earth. And it's all, they all partake of the glory. Christ is the center.
Elias went up in the rapture, didn't he? Picture of the rapture. That's the heavenly one. We get a little more in Luke's gospel, where the disciples entered into the Father. Father overshadowed them. But in Luke, they entered into the cloud. That's the church. Luke 9.
Verse 34 and Luke 9. Verse 34.
Mm-hmm.
And thus faith there came the cloud and overshadowed them. And appeared as they entered into the cloud. Is that a picture of the glory of the Lord, the cloud, the presence of God?
Yes, it's the heavenly company, the church. They enter into the cloud. That's his own personal glory, the kind of glory. I suppose in Matthew we have more of the line of things that had to do with the earthly millennial day. We have that also in Luke, but added to it, the assembly. Peter speaks of that in his epistle, I think it's the second epistle, of his excellent glory. The glory is excellence in manifestation. This is his excellent glory. The Lord tells them, I don't know whether it's in this passage or not. Yes, in the ninth verse. Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. So when the Son of Man was risen from the dead, Peter preaches, or he writes it in his That's all it does. The excellent glory. And we were with him on the mount. You don't get this in John's gospel.
Well, this is acquired glory and
acquired. Is this his acquired, the Lord's acquired glory?
Official glory? Exactly what does it mean?
As the Son of God, it's his glory. Eternal glory. But there's a special glory of the Son of Man that comes out both in the heavenly and earthly department of the kingdom. Acquired glory. If you look at the end of Luke 9, no, not at the end, but the Son of Man speaks of coming his own glory, it's a little bit earlier in the chapter, in the 26th verse. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. But he shall come in his own glory and his Father's, or the glory that the Father put upon him, and of the holy angels, or over the holy angels, as you have in Hebrews. You read in Hebrews to us. So you have three glories here for those who acknowledge him. He has the first of the glory, as the Son of Man came down as the Son of Man. But there's a glory the Father's put upon him. And then there's a glory that he has above the holy angels. Now, he doesn't have that glory over the angels until this time. It's spoken up here today that the angels of God. But you'll notice in the in the 13th chapter of Matthew, that he shall send his angels. And in the Psalms, it speaks of his angels that excel in strength. The Lord will send his angels, as you have in Hebrews, you read to us. He's more than the angels now, that is, in his death. But when he comes again, he will be above angels. They'll all be subject to him. As man, I mean. They always have been as God, but I mean as man.
Above the holy angels, you think? Definitely. When it says of the holy angels.
Yes, but what you read in Hebrews shows that they'll be subject to him.
So his own glory you connect here with he's acquired moral glory,
yeah.
in his Father's,
yeah, what's given for him. Because the Father's so valued his work, placed upon him a special glory.
And that is the moral glory he has acquired.
It's connected with it. But it's a special approbation of the Father. But man is going to be over the angels. The angels are over man now. Man will be over the angel in Christ. Each one of these things are a subject of their own glory. What a day of display of glory that coming, both the millennial and the eternal state.
In the chapter in Luke that deals with this same event, it speaks of the Lord being in prayer at the time when this transfiguration occurred, which is a significant fact. The expression of his dependence as man came to pass as he prayed, the fact that his countenance was altered. That it was as a dependent man. Perfection, of course, and God answered him at that time by the display of this wondrous glory and exaltation. Thank you.
We have that in Luke, don't you?
Yes.
Now, the chapter starts out, I think the 18th verse, I'm not sure, but where the Lord is praying, but his disciples will not pray. And they make 7 mistakes. Now, he may not regard them as mistakes, but I speak of it that way because they missed his mind 7 times. Mark and Matthew does not give that, but we get it in Luke. They weren't praying. Now, one of them is the 4th verse of our chapter. Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make 3 tabernacles. 1 for thee, 1 for Moses, and 1 for Elias. He didn't know what he was saying. Putting the Lord Jesus on the same plane, Moses and Elias. But he gets the answer from heaven. This is my beloved son. Don't place him alongside Moses and Elias. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. That's the glory the Father puts upon. I am well pleased. Not only do we see those glories come out, but the Father witnessed them in a far richer and greater way than we ever could. The bright cloud. It wasn't what we consider a cloud here. You see a cloud floating across the sky. Not that. It was the cloud of His glory.
Well, the Holy Spirit of God could not work this suggestion of Peter's, which was really dishonor to the Lord, but we're sitting on the same level as these prophets. This is really a serious error in Peter's part. But the attention is directed to the preeminence and person of Christ. Reminds us of the third chapter, which you already noticed there. Heavenly Father again breaking forth in that marvelous approbation, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Heavenly open there for that declaration of the supreme satisfaction of the God the Father in the person of His beloved Son. And again here, which is really a correction of Peter's error of seeking to lower the dignity and glory of the person of Christ by associating Him with Moses and Elias, vessels that the Lord used, but not divine.
They were spokesmen, but it says, hear Him. We're to hear the Lord. Now, someone may be used of God to bring us the Word, but it's the Word of God we're to hear. God always works through men, I believe. Perhaps I shouldn't say always, but generally, works through men to carry out His purpose and power. Revelation, I think. We have grace even mentioned here. The disciples fall on their face, they were afraid. They might well. Serious mistake. And Jesus came and touched them. Remember that time in the story of Elijah when he was fleeing from Jezebel? He lay under a wild broom tree. And wished for himself that he might die. And then an angel came and touched him. And he looked up and there was a cake baking on the coals. And other things providing for his journey. And he goes in the strength of that for 40 days. Well, it's the same person, I believe. It says an angel. But later in the chapter, speaks of him as Lord. I think it's the same person as we have here. It says Jesus came and touched them, just like he touched Elijah. Arise, said, arise, be not. Grace has come in. The law was given by Moses, and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. There's no reason for fear. That's opened up in Timothy. Not given us the spirit of fear. Power and love of a sound mind.
Was it the presence of God that they made them afraid here? Was the presence of God in?
Yes, I think so.
The rebuke that they felt in their souls.
And the marvelous display of glory which they've never seen before. However, when we get to glory, we won't be afraid. We have bodies that perfectly fit that glory. The result is that everything is taken away from their eyes but Jesus. So I know that, said Jesus. Only a person will satisfy our hearts for all eternity.
The person of the Christ enfolding every grace, as we sometimes sing. Once slain, but now alive again in heaven. And I'll pray. Easy it is to allow other things to eclipse the person of the Lord in our lives. That would be things that may be legitimate. That which come between our souls and the Lord. An idol is anything that displaces Christ in our hearts.
We have Peter, James, and John with us. We find that John benefits by this in a special way. I don't say that Peter doesn't, but I think we notice it in the life of John, that he lay on Jesus' bosom, be not afraid. He spent his time with the Lord in nearness, not simply as an observer, but entering into the sense of the Lord's presence and love for him. If it hadn't been so, he never could have written the book of Revelation. It was awful scenes. But he learns it here. Again, with.
Would there be any picture to us here of the fact that this, I don't know, I'm asking the question, that his glory seemed to pass here and the disciples were left and the Lord alone doesn't mention it in the other in the parallel passage. You're found with the Lord alone. What is the significance there?
14th verse of our chapter, whenever he came down from the mountain.
I thought it was in one passage where it speaks of him that afterwards, they were found.
Yes, it's there in Luke.
Yes, when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and they told the man in those days any of those things which they had seen.
Yes.
Is there any picture there, brother, of please? Earthly glory being passing away, and I don't know, I'm asking questions. It seems as if this glory had its place and was passed, and it was only Christ that was before.
When Jesus, when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone.
Yes.
And they kept it close. And told no man in those days any of those things which they have seen. Then you get the day after. Well, I don't know how to answer your question. There's so much in this passage in Luke that takes us beyond the earthly millennial day. It's moral in its character.
that glory that seemed to pass there, but the Lord did not. He was with them. He was before their souls. He was filling their hearts. Even after that glory, the wonderful vision of glory had passed away.
Jesus was found alone.
We sometimes think of we sometimes call it a mountaintop experience. We are enjoying the Lord in our souls, the spiritual apprehension of Him that is very precious. Then we have to come back down to the reality and down to the plane and the everyday difficulties and problems. And we have the Lord before us there, the all-sufficient One.
We don't receive power simply because we have an experience, as you mentioned, of glory. Or an experience, we'll say, going to the Father's. That doesn't give us any power for service. Later in the chapter, this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. That's the only way there's any power for service. And the disciples have to learn as they come down from the mountain that they cannot heal the man which they had been given in the first chapter, part of the chapter, I'm thinking of Luke's Gospel. They were given power and authority over demons. But you see, now they cannot use it because they haven't been praying. The Lord is praying twice. Once before on the mountain, and during the time on the mountain, as you call their attention to. They weren't praying at either time. There was no power.
It mentions in another place that they were asleep. They were asleep on this occasion.
Yeah. If we're asleep according to the glories of Christ, and sufferings of Christ, would you sleep according to the glory of Christ? So that they were asleep. If it hadn't been for the Lord awaking them, they would never have seen this glory. Because they were asleep to the sufferings of Christ. You see that in the later in the chapter, in the 23rd verse. And they shall kill him, and the third day shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. They didn't enter into it. They were sorry. They heard this and they were sorry. But they didn't enter into it. What it meant for him to die and put away all their sins, they didn't enter into that fault. They were just sorry for him.
That was the very subject of the disciples, wasn't it?
Yeah.
At least, no, Christ, it says in Luke 9, who appeared in glory. In the faith of his decease, this was the subject that Moses and Elias were occupied.
That's right.
And Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep at this time, but it was the decease which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. It was that work of redemption that was before him that occupied Moses and Elias at this time.
It shows the occupation of heaven, doesn't it? When we get there.